You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. And today we have a guest with us today who's studying the monitoring program within the halibut fishery. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Elizabeth Figgis. I'm a fisheries PhD student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I live down in Juneau. And I study what Pacific halibut commercial fishermen think about the new observer program and data collection on the water.
So, first of all, could you kind of give an overview of your research project?
Yeah. So I study the commercial fishery for Pacific halibut, and as most people in Kodiak know, Pacific halibut are a flounder species, which means they spend a lot of their time near the seafloor. They also range really broadly from California all the way to Japan, and so they cover most of the Alaska coastline south of the Bering Strait. Many Alaskans think of halibut as a really big, fun, recreational and commercial fish species, and they're also really economically important in Alaska. Halibut and sable fish compose a big part of the value of all fish landings in Alaska. And my research focuses on how we manage halibut. Back in 2013, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council extended the Federal Fisheries Observer Program for the first time to include all vessels commercially fishing halibut. Now, there was some pushback from fishermen down in Southeast Alaska who were frustrated with some of the logistical difficulties of adjusting to the new program. Some of these fisheries organizations voiced their opinions at council meetings, specifically about the difficulty of accommodating human observers on smaller boats. And so I got interested in understanding, while the council was responding to these issues by creating an electronic monitoring work group to try to see if there are alternate ways to collect data on the water, I wanted to understand if the fishermen down in Southeast Alaska as a group all feel pretty much the same way about this issue, if they have different opinions, as well as what kinds of things they're seeing out on the water. And so the basis of my work was trying to gain a more systematic understanding of the situation that was being looked at in the council through just a few people's voices in public comment.
All right. So I'm going to ask you some background questions because not everyone listening may be very familiar with BycatH or the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, although I'm guessing the majority of them are. First of all, could you explain what a monitoring program is and what it does?
Yeah, so when people talk about observer programs in general or monitoring, that can mean a lot of things, and there's actually a lot of jargon, just like you brought up. So BycatH sometimes means incidental catch, and sometimes it means things that are discarded. In the context of the halibut fishery, the Federal Observer Program is really broad. And so expanding it to include halibut fishermen really just meant that for the first time, if you're directed halibut fishing, you're required to register online to be randomly selected to carry an observer from the port that you leave from and then bring them back on a trip basis. And it's kind of complicated because in 2013, it was set up a little differently than 2014, 15, and then this year, they've changed and tweaked the selection process a little bit. But basically, before they extended this program, there was a data gap for understanding what fish were actually potentially discarded at sea in the commercial fleet. And the halibut fishery is a little bit unique in the context of data collection because ever since 1995, they've been subject to the IFQ, or the individual fishing quota system. And ever since that began, the landings and trip information has been really carefully followed, and data has been collected at every offload of halibut around the state. And so what the Observer Program has to offer in halibut fishing today is really more based on getting a better look at what's going out on fishing boats. And that's going to be different in every fleet and in every state because we have these programs all over the country.
And your research focuses mostly on the state?
Yeah, I exclusively focused on the state of Alaska and this extension of the program to halibut fishermen. And then within my own research, I interviewed fishermen down in Southeast Alaska in Juneau, Sitka, Hoonah, and Petersburg to try to get a snapshot of what the greater issues look like for them. And I was interested in understanding, first of all, is the Observer Program actually likely to document differences in the bycatch or the fish that aren't halibut that come up on longline hooks that then end up back in the water? Are they likely to document new things that weren't previously recorded? And also, how much support do fishermen have for human observers versus other kinds of data collection strategies on the water?
Could you elaborate a little bit more on some of the results that you've gotten?
Yeah, so I talked to 78 different halibut fishermen around Southeast Alaska, and the two primary preliminary findings that I have are that, first of all, fishermen and the scientific surveys tended to see the same types of species that were being caught and bycaught across space and time, and also that fishermen tended to prefer the least obtrusive data collection strategies that were possible. And so to understand those preliminary findings, I'll elaborate a little bit on what I did. For each interview, I asked every person who was talking to me to organize 52 different species. They were like flashcards of fish species that may or may not come up on halibut hooks while someone's longlining. I asked them to put them into categories of something that they see never, rarely, sometimes, or usually when they're out halibut fishing. And then I compared those findings with setline survey data from the International Pacific Halibut Commission. And I wanted to understand, since the Halibut Commission, which is a research body that's been working with halibut fishermen in Alaska since the 1920s, they've got all these data from summer surveys of halibut populations that are really usually looked at independently of anything that the commercial fishermen do. And I just wanted to understand a little bit more about how similar or different what fishermen see is from the Halibut Commission, and with the idea that that might tell us a little bit about what to expect that the observer data might be seeing.
And could you talk a little bit about the ultimate goal? Basically, what do you want to do with the information that you have gathered besides getting your PhD?
Yeah, well, so my main interest in fisheries research has to do with understanding ways that the local knowledge of fishermen can be incorporated into management in order to inform the process and ultimately improve the process. And so that's sort of why I organized my research into two objectives that focus partly on the natural science and assessment part of what the Observer Program is getting. So that's understanding how closely what the fishermen are seeing for species lines up with what we already knew about independent surveys and what we might expect the Observer Program new data to provide. And also, do fishermen support the Observer Program? Would they support transfers to alternatives? Because understanding those preferences has a lot to do with how managers might strategize to get more buy-in or more compliance with new regulations. And one of the issues with this program to date has been that there's been a lot of development in the methodology for deploying observers and collecting data. And to some extent, that was written into, not written in, but maybe just expected in the process of management, that they would have to make adjustments to accommodate the fleet, to accommodate the program, that there would be some issues. But I would ultimately like to see fishermen playing a larger role in helping to inform regulations so that we don't end up with whole years of data, for example, that aren't usable.
As far as the fishermen that you did interview in the Southeast, did you notice any patterns as far as where they come from, what kind of boat or vessel they work on, their age, anything that could help you learn more about where the preferences are coming from or why they might feel that they feel a certain way?
Yeah, so I tried to talk to a broad suite of people. And what I had expected at the beginning of this project was that it would be likely that fishermen might see different things than what existing survey data says, because fishermen are allowed to go out and target halibut from March to November, and independent surveys always take place just during the summer months. I also expected that a broader suite of fishermen with different experiences and different types of boats, also using different types of gear, might actually have different preferences about how to collect data while they're fishing. So some people might want an observer on their boat and some people might not. I was a little bit surprised with the results, because so far what I have found is that for the most part, even when you control for gear type, month of the year fished, age of a fisherman, or a multitude of different characteristics, the fishermen and our current Setline survey tend to expect to see the same types of species in a broad sense when you look at correlations of the prevalence, which leads me to say that fishermen and the IPHC tend to see the same things, and therefore we might expect the observer program not to actually highlight new trends in species, but rather be supporting things that we already knew or giving us more detail about the nuances between fishermen. Now, with preferences, I talked to people who ranged from having 5 to 58 years of halibut fishing experience. So that's a median amount of 35 years of experience. And it might not surprise people in Kodiak who are pretty well versed in fisheries issues, but halibut fishermen tend to be a little bit older than the average fisherman in Alaska. They're in their 50s, whereas the average salmon fisherman in Alaska is 42 or 43 years old. But this means that they're really a huge wealth of information. But given that some people had 5 years of experience and one person had 58, and that the youngest person I talked to was 27 and the oldest was in his 80s, I really thought they would have a broad suite of perspectives. And qualitatively, I can say that people did have a lot to say about the alternatives that I gave them. So I let people pick between ranking, going back to the way things were before 2013, or keeping a super detailed logbook where I asked them to imagine if they went out fishing and they were told to just write down every single thing that came up on their hook, kind of the way that a human observer does. I also asked them to rank between electronic monitoring or carrying cameras on their boat or carrying a human observer. And when I had people rank those things quantitatively and looked at the results, it turned out that they were pretty commonly and pretty strongly in a preference of the least obtrusive data strategy. So human observers ranked the lowest of everything. Going back to the way things were ranked the highest, and then detailed logbooks and electronic monitoring were sort of in the middle, in this sort of neutral zone. And so I was a little bit surprised that it was such a stark ranking, but then I thought, well, ranking is just ranking. What if I actually have each type of person compare the different types so that I can understand using what's called analytic hierarchy processing, how these things would score out and how consistently people chose. And actually the scores came out very similar, with human observers being the least preferred overall by a large margin and electronic monitoring being over twice as preferred. And that was true even when I split up by vessel size. And so now I'm in the process of trying to split into more of those characteristics that I described before, so maybe by the age of the fisherman or by previous experience with observers, to understand more of the detail behind those decisions that people had.
Did you ask people how they felt about monitoring and its importance?
Yeah, I did. And right now I'm right in the middle of my analyses, and I'm really excited to get to the next stage where I get to look through the open-ended responses to questions that I had. So I had questions where I asked people to tell me, first of all, if they'd had an experience with an observer on their boat before, and if so, to describe it. A lot of the fishermen in some of the communities had previously carried observers in the sablefish or black cod fleet, for example, or worked on other boats that had carried them. And then a large portion of the fishermen also had never had a previous experience. After that, I also asked people to talk about their preferences for observers and data collection. And so I'm really excited to get to a stage where I can compare those deeper qualitative results with this quantitative scoring type of exercise that's taken place.
How are you collecting the data? Is it through a recording or are they writing it down?
Yeah, I did in-depth recorded interviews with everybody individually to try to control for any kind of influence of opinion And so I sat down, this was back in the spring of 2015, I sat down with each person individually in the communities for about an hour each time.
So when I asked before about if your research was specific to the state, I was curious because I know you don't come from Alaska, so I was wondering how you chose this location to focus on.
Yeah, so my background of interest in fisheries management is something of a windy one. I started out, I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I first got an interest in fisheries management because at college on the East Coast, I was invited to go salmon trolling in Sitka with a friend's parent in the summertime after my first year of college. So I did that for a season, and actually that was back in 2005, and during the same year I got a chance to go halibut longlining with my friend's dad and learn a little bit about that. And then I skipped a summer, but then ever since 2007, on and off, I've been troll tendering for North Pacific Seafoods and Seafood Producers Cooperative in Sitka. During the summer months, which has been a really great opportunity to learn about a whole fleet of fishermen based around Baranoff Island and in Chatham Strait. And that really piqued my interest both in sustainable harvesting of fish species and the rules and regulations involved in how people harvest fish from the water. And so during my undergraduate degree in Massachusetts, I did research population decline in some of the remote communities in Southeast Alaska. And then I went over to Europe, actually, and completed a degree in European studies, where when I was living in Poland, I interviewed Polish fishermen about shifts in their fishing policies over time. And when I completed that degree, I really got interested in understanding more deeply how science becomes incorporated into the decision-making process of commercial fisheries. And so I was lucky enough to get a fellowship from the National Science Foundation to join the fisheries PhD program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And we have a satellite campus down in Juneau, right next to the NOAA building in Juneau, which is a wonderful place to be, surrounded by lots of commercial fishing-related people and science going on. So it's been kind of a windy road, but now I'm very excited to be able to be looking more into the science side of how we manage these fish stocks. Like I said, I'm interested in understanding how to incorporate the knowledge that fishermen have more directly into the science and the management decisions.
It's really cool that you got to study in Poland. I've sat in on some talks, and they talk about how Europeans deal with some of the same issues American fishing fleets do. Do you speak Polish?
Well, I hope you're not going to make me do it on the radio.
I'm not, but I'm just curious.
In 7 short years, you too can become mostly fluent in that language.
I'm afraid I already did the 7 short years with Spanish, so.
Yeah. It really was an amazing experience, and part of my dissertation actually does look at comparing some of the European management systems to the Alaska halibut fishery, which is a little bit broader of a discussion than I guess we have time for today, but it really is fascinating to watch the continent of Europe under the umbrella of the European Common Fisheries Policy and the whole United States of America Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Act sort of moving forward in tandem toward this idea of ecosystem-based fisheries management or ecosystem approach to fisheries. There are a lot of things in common, as well as I think both systems have a lot to learn from each other.
I did think we have some time to talk about maybe monitoring programs elsewhere in other countries. Are you familiar with that at all?
A little bit. So my research, I actually just submitted a manuscript focusing on how to incorporate fishermen's knowledge in Poland into assessing the health of the Baltic cod stock. But in my experience over there, the Common Fisheries Policy has been moving toward goals of 100% transparency and 100% monitoring of the Eastern Baltic cod stock. And I think it primarily with all of the stocks that are of management interest or of management concern. And so a couple of years ago now, the cod stock was labeled as of concern, and anybody on a boat that delivers more than a couple hundred kilos of cod at a time now has to go to a first sale point in Poland where every single fish is counted, everything in the boat, every time you offload, and they actually pay a fee for that. They're also liable, or like it's possible for them to be boarded at any point while they're out fishing. Occasionally they carry scientific observers, but that system works a little bit differently in the Baltic than it would in Alaska, specifically because the Baltic Sea is surrounded by 9 different countries, right? So they have their 3 and 12 nautical mile zone, and that's actually a national border that is more, not that ours doesn't matter, but it really makes a big difference in the Baltic Sea because you're pretty close to the edge of other people's national borders all the time. And so sometimes when you're out past 12 nautical miles fishing, you're actually going to be boarded by an international Coast Guard who's boarding you for multiple reasons just to check on things. When people enter or leave a Polish port, for example, you have to get official permission from the harbor master in an international relations context that we don't ever have to deal with. So there are a lot of different monitoring things that I think the European seas have to deal with that we're lucky enough in some ways that we have down in Southeast Alaska, we have some border issues with Canada. Sometimes I hear people talking about sort of, oops, I got over the line, or a Canadian fisherman came over the line. But in that sense, we don't even know where to begin compared to the Baltic Sea.
Yeah, I'm hearing that there are many differences. But as someone who's pretty familiar with both systems, is there anything that you can see being carried over?
One thing that I notice a lot in both areas is that the smaller scale fishermen in both regions work really hard to comply with regulations in a way that doesn't affect their way of life when possible. And so one of the bases of both of my projects in Poland and Alaska is to try to understand in a systematic way what drives people's decisions, whether it's to comply with a regulation or to ignore a regulation or to document a piece of information and try to communicate it to a manager or not have any relationship with fisheries managers. And I noticed that in Poland, for example, small-scale fishermen today are primarily concerned with just making enough to get by in any way possible. They deal with a lot of quick changes each year in the fish regulations. So in 2006, there was a big drift net ban in the Baltic, and they also, I'm not sure exactly what year in the early 2000s, but they stopped their salmon hatchery programs in order to allow salmon to recover in the Baltic Sea, and that was Baltic Sea-wide for all the different countries. But that severely affected a lot of the people I work with in Poland. A lot of the fishermen talk to me about the good old days of salmon fishing, and when I show them pictures or short videos of Alaska salmon hook and line trolling, they're always really sentimental about that. And I definitely see some parallels between the idea of fishing as a lifestyle and a business that holds true, especially in communities like Kodiak or down in Sitka, where I work out of in the summertime.
I was also meaning to ask you, have you interviewed any of the people on the other side, the observers?
I have not interviewed any observers. And in theory, if they hadn't made their decision about how to implement the expanded observer program until the council carried out a project such as this one, I wanted this to be able to inform decision-making in that way. So I asked the people that I worked with down in Southeast to imagine that they had the chance to change or to make the decision about how data was collected and then to explain to me how they would do it. And so in that sense, I was less concerned with trying to logistically get observers to sit down at the table, as I was interested in understanding from a fisherman's perspective what types of data collection would make the most sense. And I was constrained as an individual person carrying out an interview project, and so for that reason I only worked with four communities in one of the halibut management areas. So all of the communities are in Area 2C. But so it was kind of an interesting project for that reason. I sort of took the observer program as I wasn't worried about whether or not the data is or isn't reliable or representative. I sort of don't even go there. They do a very good job over time collecting the data that's used for state management and federal management. And so I just really didn't want to worry about whether or not I was sort of judging that program, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what stage are you in your project? When do you think you'll be ready to present?
Well, I will be coming to Kodiak to present, but I'm really excited. I've got about 6 more months to work on analyses, and then I'm expecting to be submitting some manuscripts early next fall with publishable results. And so I've been going around different communities in Alaska, both to places that I interviewed people in as well as communities around the Gulf, specifically to get some feedback from people and understand a little bit more whether or not these preliminary findings are representative, for example, in other areas, and what different fishermen and different community members think about this bigger picture idea of, you know, this local knowledge being incorporated into management. What are the potentials for that? What are the potential issues surrounding that? And so far I've been to Seward and Cordova and Homer. I went down to Petersburg as well last spring. And it's been really great. It's been really interesting to hear what people say. There's been some really interesting feedback, and I'm excited to hear what people in Kodiak have to say, too.
When are you coming to talk, and where?
So on Thursday, I will be at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center in room 219 at 6:30 at night, sticking around for as long as people want to talk, but usually I talk for about a half hour, and then I have some questions as well as cookies and refreshments for people. And then on Friday, on the 11th, starting at 4, I'll be hanging out at the brewery and ready for some question and answer or just sort of less formal discussion about the project for anybody who's interested.
All right. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've been talking with Elizabeth Figgis, who is coming to town to present on her PhD project, which is all about the monitoring program within the halibut fishery and how fishermen feel about it and the different options available to them. So thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us.
Thank you very much.